some lifestyle habits, where you live, maybe there's a lot of pollution, or maybe you're on the screen, you know, the computer all the time, or maybe there's some power lines, medication, supplements, all those things can cause these blockages, like the log kind of falling across the river. And genetics play a role in that too, for sure. So when we do Qigong, it's just like, again, like the acupuncture without the needles, you're starting to move, say you're moving your hands a little bit, you know, slowly in front of your body or whatever you're doing. That is like almost like a little bit like a magnet. And those meridian points, those energy points can actually pull energy through those channels so you can remove those blockages.
This is the Entrepology Podcast. The podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an entrepologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. So, what if I told you through just a few simple movements for 10 to 15 minutes every single day, you could increase your capacity to relax, increase focus, clarity, detoxification, your general sense of well-being, sleep, protect your body from EMF fields and Wi-Fi and all of the other pollutants? You probably wouldn't believe me. But the reality is, the ancient practice of Qigong is something that we find empirically improves all of these things in people's lives. Traditional Chinese medicine is a 5,000-year-old medical discipline. It has a strong cultural and medical history, both in China and throughout the course of the world. My guest today, Sue Kreitz, is a certified Qigong instructor and master healer. She is also a nutritionist and has been working in energetic forms of healing for a very long time. In fact, we met at a workshop almost 10 years ago looking at a really cool system of medicine called auricular medicine, which we get into in the podcast. Sue has created a really innovative business for two reasons. One, she makes Qigong accessible to people who never thought that this was a system of medicine or healing that would be of interest to them. And two, she does it online. Chinese medicine is not something we've spoken about in any great detail on the podcast before, but it is an idea and concept that is incredibly powerful and is rooted in symbolism and intrigue with respect to the things that we see in our bodies and our world on a daily basis. Sue has found a really captivating way of taking this ancient form of healing and making it relevant to the types of pressures that we have in today's day and age. We talk about parenthood, energy, entrepreneurism, and of course, Qigong, and how this very simple process can fundamentally change your life. It is my absolute pleasure to introduce you to Sue Kreitz. Sue Kreitz, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you.
What's super exciting to have you here, and what's neat is it's sort of one of these full circle moments, because healing and energetics is part of how we met almost 10 years ago. Can you share with us your journey as a healer, a nutritionist, and how you have come to really incorporate energetics into your practice along the way?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. It's kind of a long story, so I'm going to try and keep it succinct, but my journey began actually a few years before you and I met. I was previously a research scientist, and I was studying plant succession after a disturbance, and I had my kids, and then After my second child, Luke, was born, things kind of switched for me. And, you know, he was always sick and he was diagnosed as failure to thrive and he had been undergoing all these medical tests and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. And then they figured out he had severe asthma and they weren't sure. And, you know, my science brain just kind of got to work doing my own research. And I thought, you know, there's more to it than just these tests. There's, you know, as a mother, as you know, your intuition kind of gets really strong when you have kids and you kind of know more. It seems you know more about what they might need. So I just started studying alternatives out there and especially nutrition. I was always interested in that. And along that, you know, course of studying, I ended up getting a certificate in holistic nutrition. And then I went on and studied homeopathy and all the while kind of working with my son. And then it wasn't until a friend with cancer came to me and wanted to do alternatives and as well as conventional. She just wanted to throw everything at it because she had been given a very slim chance here in Canada. So that led me to the course where we met, the auricular medicine course out of Toronto, outside of Toronto there. And that course for me gave me a really nice way to assess where my clients were at in their protocols and to figure out, you know, maybe a little bit deeper about their blockages, what they might need to support those blockages. So I was really happy with that. It was a very intensive course, as you know, but it really added a lot to my toolkit. So I went on and still practiced nutrition and had my own private practice in my local town here. I'm in Alberta, Canada. And, you know, more and more stuff just started coming my way. And as I was practicing with my clients, you know, they were getting better and it was all good. But I was getting these other messages sort of intuitively. And that led me to Qigong, which we'll talk about in a minute. But it's basically, you know, another energetic technique. And really, I incorporated that into my practice. And recently, I guess 2 years ago, I shut my in-person clinic down. And I just felt the need. I had to reach more people in a bigger way. So I took everything online. And I do only distance work now. And run online programs.
Okay, so can you just like take us through for one sec? We're going to talk about what auricular is and what Qigong is. Mm-hmm. But suffice it to say, these are energetic therapies. And so how do you do that online? Like, it's the coolest concept ever.
Mm-hmm. So for Qigong, because it's a moving meditation, but there's also an energy healing component to it. So a lot of my clients, we kind of morphed into the in-person and they, you know, I had a really great foundation and they trusted me and they'd experienced a lot of the energetic work that we'd done together. So they had a belief in me. So we just started doing distance work. And in that regard, I don't need to see them or anything. I just can kind of tune into their energy and get a feel for what's going on. But as from the Qigong perspective, what I found is if I teach people a little bit of a couple of movements to do between sessions, they just get better so much faster. And so to do that, I need a camera and I need, you know, I record things. And so I just show them a movement and I have them do it and I can watch them over camera. It's amazing what we can do now. And then that sort of reaffirmed, we do it together a little bit. And yeah, so I have this community where we meet weekly via live stream and every, you know, we record the sessions if people want to go back. But, you know, with cameras now and the internet, it's just so simple to reach all over the world and connect energetically on all these levels. It's like we're together in the same room.
Yeah, it's actually amazing. And we're so adept to being able to leverage technology in our own lives for so many different things. It just makes sense that healing is starting to move in that direction. And it doesn't seem odd to people anymore. They're like, well, of course we can do these things through this medium. There's two things that you mentioned that I think some people are probably going to be like, what were they talking about? And that is auricular medicine and Qigong. Starting with auricular medicine, can you just explain to people what that is?
Yeah, so auricular medicine is it's basically an energetic assessment technique. So in doing auricular medicine, you use someone's pulse, so they can be present or through distance, you can still pick up on their pulse. And then the energy, we tap into the energy that's actually coming out of the ear, which is what auricular means. So oracle is ear. So the idea with that is we're looking at blockages and we use the pulse to assess them. And so we feel a blip in the pulse and that helps us figure out where the blockages in the body might be. And the beautiful thing about auricular medicine is it's basically an assessment tool, but you can match the energy of the individual with supplements and remedies and even lifestyle changes for that matter. And it can also give you an order in which that person is ready to move forward in. So instead of just, starting whole hog with let's cleanse, let's detox, let's do all these things, which are all going to help, those things can really often make someone feel sick. They may not be ready for those things. So auricular medicine gives you almost like a pathway to follow. And then you're really matching the energy of the person with the remedy. So, there might be 10 different, say, calciums that someone might benefit from with auricular, match the calcium to the person that it's going to benefit them the most. So really it's a way to help the body become auto-regulating and self-healing again.
I love it. It's a beautiful description. And then Qigong as an energetic therapy or practice. Can you give some context to that as well?
Sure. So Qigong is an ancient Chinese practice. It's based on the foundations of Chinese medicine, and it's over 5,000 years old. So Qi means energy, and Gong means work or to cultivate. So with Qigong, you're moving energy, and it has to do with our meridians. So we have these invisible energy channels in our bodies where energy flows. And when we have blockages, it's like, there's a log or a rock or something kind of blocking that river, that pathway of energy. So with Qigong healing, we can pull the log or the rock off. And when someone practices Qigong movement, so it's a moving meditation, they actually can remove those blockages themselves. Sometimes they need help, but often they can do it themselves. So what I found when I found Qigong was so fascinating because the first course I took, the instructor said, "Oh, Qigong is a way for the body to help the body become auto-regulating and self-healing." So the very way that I describe auricular medicine. So I was just like, "Oh, match, match. How does this work?" And it's similar but different. It's like acupuncture without the needles. And it's like meditation without sitting still. So it's really good for a lot of people.
Your description of Qigong as acupuncture without needles and meditation without sitting, I feel like that probably got some people's attention. That's like their ideal way of being able to engage with both. When people are practicing Qigong, and if I'm describing this correctly, it's a series of movements that people would, in essence, move through. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And to see the benefit from it, is it something that they have to do every single day?
In the philosophy, so there's many forms of Qigong, like probably thousands of forms of Qigong. So the one that I study is called Spring Forest Qigong, and I incorporate a few different things within that, but it is super simple. So the idea is with this is it's good, better, best. So, there is no bad, there's no wrong way to practice. Practicing once in a while is good. Practicing even more than that is better. Practicing every day is best, but it's not necessary. You'll still receive the benefits. So traditionally we have practice groups where we meet once a week. People receive so many benefits from just practicing once a week. But many of the breathing techniques and things that you're thinking about, it's really a mindfulness practice as well. It trickles into your life throughout the week. So I would say the one hit, you get, some lasting benefits from it.
And prior to doing Qigong, was Chinese medicine and the philosophies of Chinese medicine something that you had incorporated in your practice, or did you develop or come to an understanding with respect to those as you strengthened your Qigong practice?
That's a good question. So because I was a plant ecologist before, I was really interested in nature and I just love being in the forest. I love being outside. That's just, you know, sort of my MO. And I did learn about the five element theory before that. So, you know, there's these five elements that are the foundation of Chinese medicine. So those things always interest me. But it wasn't until I started to study and learn Qigong and I became a certified instructor. There's a lot of rigor to that training. And then I really embodied a little bit, you know, the Chinese philosophy about these five elements and how we can use those to assess what's going on in the body or, you know, even in nature. So the connection for me was quite powerful. And, but it wasn't until later that I really got into the philosophy behind it.
Yeah. And the philosophy is really different from a Western paradigm. And I actually quite love in practice being able to just stack those two philosophies or ways of looking at the body on top of one another, because it's completely different information that you get. But can you describe for people a little bit about, you know, what the five elements theory is really about, just to give some people some context on traditional Chinese medicine, which is a 5,000-year-old system of medicine that can have really profound and relevant information even today?
Yeah, so the five elements is I'm so passionate about, and really the philosophy behind that is, you know, the world started and it has to do with the Big Bang and how space and time and particles and all these things met, and then these five elements arose from that, and the elements cycle with the seasons. And so, of course, right now we're in summer and the element is fire. And so there's organs associated with each element. So the heart is the organ associated with this season. And what I find with people is you can really help them understand the concept of balance when you talk about the five elements. So we need balance in all these areas of our lives, and the elements can provide us with a framework in which to follow to make sure we have this balance. And that has to do with the philosophy behind yin and yang. So, you know, active and passive or light and dark, but it's all about balance. Yin cannot exist without yang and vice versa. So just talking about the fire element of summer, for example, it's a very yang time. Everyone's out enjoying the outdoors and barbecuing and sitting around campfires. There's the fire element. There's lots of sun and light. There's the fire element again. But we need to balance that with a bit of yin. We need to make sure we always have this balance. And so there's emotions that follow that. So the positive emotion of the summer is joy. And then the negative or more challenging emotion people can suffer with or struggle with would be anger or hatred or really deep, passionate emotions. Those can cause damage to the body. So in working with people, understanding about this fine balance, and if you focus on joy, there's a Qigong movement that's associated with this season. Doing those sorts of things can help balance those extreme emotions. And the most powerful part for me, what I really understood, was that those emotions actually are physical things, right? So energy can't be created or destroyed. It can just be transformed. So thoughts are actually things that create a physiological response in the body. So if we're bombarded daily with anxiety, fear, you know, worry, grief, all these things, it affects us physically. So the five elements, when that comes into play, we can look at the positive emotions that can help balance out some of these negative emotions that we struggle with. And we need the negative emotions, but it's when we get stuck in any one of them for too long, we will develop health issues, guaranteed.
And from a Chinese medicine philosophy, and then, you know, segueing back to Qigong, but I think the emotional connection to health is so so vital, and it's such a different way of looking at these pieces. So I'll share a story. You know, in the last week, I had someone up. We were just talking before about where we were. We were at our family cottage, and they were talking about someone who had developed lung cancer, no history of smoking, no secondhand smoke, like really very benign history. But what I did learn was that their husband had passed away in the last 6 months. And I was like, oh, isn't that interesting? Because lungs in Chinese medicine are associated with grief. And one, you know, I think this concept of connecting an organ system to emotion is certainly not part of Western medicine, but it's quite foreign for a lot of people. And so in looking at that concept, according to Chinese medicine, is it the emotions that drive physiological disease, or can physiological disease actually drive some of those emotions to the surface?
Well, I think it can be twofold, but I would say from my experience and in the research I've done, I would say 90% of the time, physical blockages or physical issues that we have in the body, and even a symptom, let alone a disease, starts in the emotions. So your example of grief with this person, with the lungs, I see that time and time again. And so what I found in my practice, and this is quite interesting, but before I had Qigong as a tool, I would see people, I would get, and probably much like you, I would give them some supplements and remedies and a few lifestyle changes, but, working slowly so as not to shock them and easing them into some change. And then over time, I would start to work with the emotions more. And that would take sometimes weeks, months, or years, and a lot of money. And then when I found Qigong, I started working with the emotions on the first visit. And in doing that, I would just give them a movement to do and a positive emotion to focus on as they did the movement. And right away, my results people got better so much faster. And because their mood was better, they were more empowered to make changes for themselves. It was like they were being pulled forward instead of pushed from behind, if that makes sense.
Can you get everybody to do Qigong?
That's my mission.
Okay, fair. Because, I find I'll have some people come in and I'll utter the word meditation and I can watch their body language totally change and I'll never utter that word again. And for other people, I will bring up the notion of mindfulness and you can tell they're just like salivating for the opportunity to engage in some kind of habit that will allow them access to those benefits. Do you find that we all attract certain people inherently, but do you find there's just a type of person who comes to you and you're like, bam, this is going to work for them, or people who have done work before they come to see you? Is there a characterization that you can comment on?
Well, I find that sometimes people are resistant to, doing Qigong. So I kind of trick them a little bit and I'll just say what if you just, and I'll give them like a little exercise to do, even just like rubbing a part of the body while you're watching a TV show, the sole of the foot, like the bubbling springs point, or the palm of the hand for the heart, or cupping the inside of the arms if they're coughing. I'll give them a few little exercises and just start with that. But eventually, I will send them a video or give them a guided meditation to listen to, because generally they want to clear their mind. Most people want a pause. And I find a little guided meditation and some breath work. I don't call it Qigong. I don't call it meditation for those people. It seems to work and go a long way for them. So then they're open to more. But lately what I found is I really have attracted people that don't need long-term support. They just have hit a speed bump and they are open and ready for me to tell them what they need, maybe do a little bit of energy healing. So I find it's just funny how the way that, you attract those people that, tend to be more receptive. At least that's lately what I've found.
Yeah. And I find for a lot of these things, it's part of the reason why, if we had all grown up in an environment where this was philosophically so ingrained, and there are hospitals in China, for example, that are strictly focused on traditional Chinese medicine, it's so much easier to segue into that conversation because it's so normal, but it's really not normal here. And I love that it's your mission to start to make it such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think getting people to understand how their emotions affect their physical health is so critical, because it does bring in a little bit more mindfulness. When you realize that, geez, I'm always thinking about this thing, or I can't sleep at night because I've got this thing, or I'm always worried about this, but yet my knee hurts. If you can kind of show them a little bit of that connection, it empowers them to bring in more of this, you know, mindfulness and being open to alternative ways of getting better.
Yeah, and we did an interview a few weeks ago with someone named Annette Dubreuil, and we talked about the concept of focusing, and focusing as a mindfulness technique that really allows you to tap into the messages of the body through what you're feeling physically. And what's so interesting about that is, you know, that is a tool that a lot of psychotherapists use, and yet it's tapping into a common language of the body, despite the fact that these are totally different philosophies of healing. People have picked up on the fact that the body has all of this information to give you. And we just need to listen.
Yeah. And it's empowering to know that you are in control, you know, and I find that like I was saying, once I gave them an exercise or two to do or a movement, it seemed like they got so excited because they realized they had some power to do these things on their own. Like, they weren't dependent on coming to see me, or, you know, I'm not trying to get myself out of business, but it's so great when people understand that they have all the information they need inside their bodies to heal. Sometimes they just need a bit of guidance to get there.
Absolutely. And, you know, some of the impediments to healing, the language that you used was a blockage. When you use that terminology, what are you talking about?
So a blockage, I'll take it back a little bit to the meridian system. And it's just, if you imagine, again, we have these invisible energy channels, which are like little rivers and streams, and there's ponds and lakes throughout our entire body. So when they get blocked, and they can be blocked by a series of things, so it can be the weather, you know, emotions, of course, is the number one cause, poor nutrition, some lifestyle habits, where you live, maybe there's a lot of pollution, or maybe you're on the screen, you know, the computer all the time, or maybe there's some power lines, medication, supplements, all those things can cause these blockages, like the log kind of falling across the river. And genetics play a role in that too, for sure. So when we do Qigong, it's just like, again, like the acupuncture without the needles, you're starting to move, say you're moving your hands a little bit, you know, slowly in front of your body or whatever you're doing. That is like almost like a little bit like a magnet. And those meridian points, those energy points, can actually pull energy through those channels, so you can remove those blockages over time. So blockages are really, you know, they can be a symptom you might notice, or you don't even know they're there.
Yeah, it's so fascinating to really tap in and be able to just simply eliminate or facilitate flow within the body, and mm-hmm. suddenly so many things will start to clear up.
Mm-hmm. So many things start to clear up, and then people start to make better decisions for their life. You know, they make the big change that's maybe been needed to be made. Their intuition starts to guide them about what foods are good for them. Like, all these other things open up because all of a sudden, you know, there's more wisdom. The body has a lot of wisdom.
Yeah. I find it really interesting because we'll make one or two changes with people, which will really dramatically shift their health. And then they'll come in and they will say, oh, I mean, listen, I did what you said, but then I also started to exercise and I also started to eat well. And I went out with my friends more again. And so, like, maybe what you did helped, but mostly I think I just made the decision to change my life. And they leave and they're like, I'll tell everyone you're really nice, but, you know, I think it was just a timing thing. And I now just smile to myself because I've seen this happen so many times that I'm like, no, this is the thing. And that's what happens when you like get shit out of the way, right? You take it out and the body's like, thank you. I can now flow again. It's like tidying up before you clean up your house, right? Like it's so simple. Yeah. It's so simple. So you mentioned something when you were speaking a minute ago and in passing, the things that can interrupt the health of the body in essence. And you said power lines and then you moved on. And one question I really would love to get your perspective on is the influence of Wi-Fi and EMF fields and how you have perhaps observed the influence of that stress on the body through your energetic work over the last decade. Because I feel like there's been a real exponential increase in our exposure. And it's hard to quantify in a traditional sense. So I'm just curious on your perspective.
Yeah, I do feel it is a concern, absolutely. And definitely the increase in the amount of time we're all exposed to Wi-Fi and even just being physically in front of, you know, a screen or a device. So I do really feel it's a concern. The other thing, so there's that piece of the Wi-Fi, of course. And what I found is if people practice Qigong, those fields do not affect them. If they practice Qigong consistently, their energy will be stronger and balance that out. So I really believe that. But the thing that I'm even more concerned about is the amount of time people are on the screen. And, you know, people have their phones by their bed and they're on the computer all day, say, and first thing they do in the morning is they look at their phone. The last thing they do before they go to sleep is they look at their phone. And I feel that just from my perspective of what I've seen with the emotions, this is causing such a problem even within our brains and our mood, and social media has left us comparing ourselves to the illusion of greatness we see every day on Facebook and Instagram, and of course then we feel less than perfect, and then all of this obsession takes away the time that maybe we would be doing other things like reading or breathing or walking in nature or having a conversation with our child or preparing a meal. So I am concerned, of course, about the Wi-Fi and the EMF fields, but I felt personally that Qigong can do a really good job about that. But I am really concerned also about the physical impact that these devices have on our emotions as well as our physical bodies.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes I explain it to my patients. I'm like, I need you at the end of the day to engage in more high vibrational activity than low vibrational activity. And Instagram and Facebook quantify as some of the lowest forms of vibrational activities.
Yeah.
And when it's a huge part of your day, we have so much more work to do to get you in that optimal state of health over and over again. And I have a picture right now up on my phone, and it's just this picture of it's actually the Colorado River. And I always come back to this concept, and I've talked about it in the podcast before, and that is that it's consistency that builds the cavern. So whatever you do a lot of, that is going to help to dictate the story of where your body goes. So back to your point before, in terms of, you know, it's okay to do Qigong once a week, but it's like way better to do it every single day. It's those things that you're going to engage in that are really going to write your physiological story. And so to that end, you know, if people were to do Qigong every day, what does that look like in terms of a time and space commitment for them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good question. So that is probably the major concern of most people that do take up Qigong is, how do I start my own practice? Like, how does this work? So again, we go back to the good, better, best philosophy. And, you know, there's lots of, you know, videos. And of course, I have a weekly group that we meet online. And so people have recordings, they can watch that every day. But generally, I really like to encourage people to get their own practice started. So that doesn't mean you need an hour every day. I mean, you could practice for an hour every day. And if you're sick, you know, my Qigong master, Master Chen Yi Lin, he would say practice for 2 hours a day. If you've got cancer or, you know, a major illness, he would say at least 2 hours a day. But for the average person, some days it would be great if you could do an hour. But honestly, you could make significant changes in your health even just with 10 or 15 minutes a day. And that would mean, you know, we start to prepare ourselves, and maybe we'll do a little bit of that here, but we do the breath, and then maybe just one movement or two movements, and then you just sort of, you do a little closing, harvesting of the chi, we call it, at the end. And if you just did that for 10 to 15 minutes a day, you would notice significant changes in your health.
Consistency builds the cavern.
It does. I really agree with that. And again, I think people don't need to be daunted by, I don't have an hour a day. I don't have 30 minutes a day. But in Qigong and in meditation, the philosophy is 20 minutes of meditation is equivalent to 4 hours of sleep. So you don't need as much sleep if you're practicing Qigong or meditating, and you can get up a bit earlier and you'll have more energy throughout the day. So every day it actually just gets easier and easier. Your body starts to pull you to practice. Your body, like, I feel my body's kicking me out of bed in the morning to get up and just do it. So it gets easy.
Can you take us through an example of a quick way to actually increase our energetic or vibrational frequency on a daily basis, like independent of doing Qigong for 15 minutes? Is there like something really like to just put people's toes in the water? Is there something they can try over the next week?
Yeah, so I'll just give you a little bit of a breathing exercise. Do you want to just try it now?
I would love to.
Okay. So the best way to do this is you just want your spine straight. So whether you're seated or lying down, it doesn't matter. But energy, we really want energy to flow smoothly up and down the spine. And as you know, all the nerve endings connecting to our entire body are housed in the spine and the brain. So if the spine is straight, energy can flow so much more smoothly. So we start with our spine straight. So sitting upright, even if your back's against a chair, that's fine. Shoulders are relaxed. So you kind of physically feel like you're going to drop. You're dropping your shoulders down. And you can have a gentle smile on your face. So smile, according to my Qigong master, stands for start my internal love engine. So smile starts the endorphins flowing right away. So we put a gentle smile on our face. And then just start to take the breath deeper. So just breathing deeply, bringing the breath down into the belly. And then also just exhaling slowly, but not forcing anything. And just following the breath, feeling the breath coming into the body and feeling the breath come out of the body. And then what I like to do is get you to visualize you have a beautiful light shining in behind your belly button. And that's an energy center called the lower dantian. So if you just visualize you have a beautiful light shining in behind your navel. And if you can't see the light there, you just say in your mind, I have a beautiful light shining in behind my belly in my lower dantian. See the beautiful light shining there. And then as you inhale, visualize you're breathing in through your skin. So even like beautiful light, sunlight, oxygen, positivity, all this beautiful air is coming in through every pore of your skin. So you're inhaling in through your arms and your legs and your feet and your torso. And this beautiful energy, this beautiful light that's coming in from the universe in through your skin is collecting with that light in your lower dantian, and it's making it shine even brighter. And then when you exhale, you just visualize whatever you don't need anymore. So that could be, illness, worry, fear, stress, or a tumor or a cyst or an ache or a pain or even a cold. Anything you don't need is transformed into smoke. And it's just coming out of your skin and going back to the universe. So you're just letting go of whatever is not serving you at this moment. So inhaling in through the skin, beautiful light in your lower dantian, and exhaling out whatever you don't need, seeing it go back to the ends of the universe. You're just setting it free. And just focus on that for a few breaths. Gentle smile. Yes, you can wake up now. So generally what you do then is you do that, even just for 2 or 3 breaths. What you're doing, and I'm just going to have you come out of it now. So just rub your hands together and massage your face, and that kind of helps ground you and get you not feeling spacey. But what that does is I don't know, I'll get your response in a moment, Megan, but what you're doing is you're bringing energy out of your head and you're bringing it down into your body. And right away, when you do that, you've changed your perspective on things. So if you're thinking over something or you're worried about something, you do that breathing, even just for 3 breaths, it will change everything for you. And you're actually transforming blockages with your breath and your visualization. How did it feel to you?
Yeah, it felt great. And what I realized was halfway through, I had my legs crossed. And I realized that in part because I was like, I feel like this could be going deeper, but it wasn't going deeper. And I was like, oh. And I
Right.
uncrossed it and I was like, oh, look at that. It accelerated all of those pieces. It just, I feel like it lets you tap in, right?
It lets you tap in. And the other beautiful thing is it really will change the energy of the room, you know, of your home. If you walk in and someone's having, there's an argument or conflict, you just do that breathing for a little bit, changes everything.
Yeah, I do that breathing like 10 times a day because I have three kids under seven.
Yeah. So yeah. You're a pro at it.
Pro. I'm a pro. Sue, how do you define health?
How do I define health? Health to me is really about feeling good each day, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Those things all have to work, you know, in balance and as one unit for true health to really be present. And health takes work and conscious effort. So it's the, as you said, it's the consistency. It's the things that you do every day. It's the habits that you support your physical, mental, and spiritual health that really, are the key, the cornerstone to actually having health. And those things take time, but it's in the time to do those things that's where the richness is, that really does support your health.
Yeah, and it really does support your life. Like creating space for things makes a huge difference about what our experience is really like here. We've all heard that mindset has a huge influence on our ability to be effective and amplify in this world. But what if I told you your brain biochemistry, literally the neurotransmitters that are existing within your nervous system, can help amplify your mindset or your capacity to be effective? They can help accelerate your mission in the world. More and more with both my coaching clients and my patients, we end up having a conversation related to our own ability to control our nervous system through the optimization of neurotransmitters. Now, what the heck do I mean by this? The foods that you eat, the way that you think, your interaction with the world has the capacity to increase things like serotonin or dopamine, some of these really important neurotransmitters to helping you be effective and operate at your best. After listening to literally thousands of conversations with my clients and with my patients, I pulled together a very quick checklist so that you could have a better understanding of the things you're doing every single day to amplify your nervous system or downregulate it in a way that isn't necessarily serving your mission. If you want access to this information and want to learn a little bit more about how you can optimize your brain health for success, visit meganwalker.com/brainhealth to grab your handout now. Now, back to our episode. What a perfect place to transition to the last little bit of the interview. And I call this section our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like we would have them in our business, I believe that we have them in our life as well. So I've got six quick questions for you, and we'll do them in a rapid fire way. Are you set?
I'm set.
Breathe deeply. You've got this. Do you have a consistent evening routine? And if so, can you share it?
Yeah, I do in the evening. So I'm quite mindful of what I sort of consume in my body in terms of food as well as, into my eyes and my vision. So in the evening, I like to do positive things. So as you said, high vibrational things. So if I'm going to watch a show, it's going to be a lighthearted show. If I'm going to read a book, it's going to be a lighthearted book. So I like to do both those two things. If my husband's home, we do watch the show. If it's just me, I read the book. And then I like to go to bed around 10:30 each night because, as we know, our organs are starting to detoxify at 11. So it's good to be in bed before 11. And some nights I journal and some nights I don't. It just depends on how I feel. And then I do my Qigong breathing as I lie in bed and fall asleep.
Sounds so blissful.
Time. I love bedtime. My kids are teenagers, Megan, so I don't really have the same issues.
Yeah, that's what my brain was alluding to. Fiction or nonfiction, what are you reading right now?
Right now I'm reading, I've always got a whole bunch of books on the go. I just finished, this is a really good book, Sarah Selecki, Brilliant Radiant Light, I think it's called. Have you read that book?
No, but I feel like I'd like it.
It's about a woman who kind of gets into this, I don't want to say too much, but anyway, it's a good book. I'll send you the link.
Perfect. We'll put it in our show notes.
Yeah, it's good.
What is the one thing, and I feel like I know the answer here, what is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Qigong, of course, because it's the magic bullet. I've found that it's taken care of so many things for me. I have more energy now than I did 10, 15 years ago, my health is better than it's ever been in my life. I've been able to heal breast cysts, and I sailed through menopause. I mean, having all those experiences, it's just reinforces my consistent practice every day.
I'm totally sold. What is something badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Oh, there's lots, but I'm learning how to slalom water ski right now.
Oh yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I'm 51 and I'm learning how to slalom water ski. So yeah, we live by the lake and my husband is an amazing water skier and he's teaching me and I'm getting pretty good. I don't do crazy wipeouts, but they used to be YouTube worthy.
Okay, well, I'm hoping to see some of this on YouTube. What do you do for fun or play?
Fun or play? Well, I like to be on the water. We talked about this earlier. So, I live not too far, like just down the road from across the street, really from a lake. So paddleboarding is one of my favorite things, getting out on the water when it's calm and just enjoying a paddle. I also like walking in the woods every day. I do that. And, I have a couple of dogs, so they force me, and I like sailing. We have just a little kind of a catamaran type boat, and so it seems to be related to the water. I like being on the water for fun.
Look at that water element there. Last question for you, Sue. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
You know, I had to learn it. I think there are people that are born entrepreneurs, but I had to learn it. And taking this business online has been a huge learning curve for me. And I have to study every day on, you know, how to run an online business and like build a quote list and all those things. So for me, I was not born to be an entrepreneur, but I have a passion and a mission, and that really is to spread this healing modality of Qigong. So I'm willing to do what it takes to get people feeling better.
Well, passion and mission is what we are all about. Sue, when people want to start their Qigong practice, where can they learn more about you and some of the online programs that you're offering?
They can go to my website. It's Sue Kreitz, C-R-I-T as in Tango, E-S as in Sierra, .ca. And I have, you know, I've created a little 10-minute morning mojo. It's a 10-minute Qigong practice from start to finish with a lot of modules. You can learn all you want or not in that. And then I have a weekly practice group and I teach level one online as well as individual sessions. So you can just reach me there.
Sounds amazing. Well, we will hook everybody up with all of those links in our show notes. Sue, it was incredible having you here today. And for those of you listening, if you enjoyed this interview, like always, we would love to hear from you. Please feel free to share your ideas and what came up for you on our Facebook page. And we would also really, really appreciate a review on iTunes. And you can share with everyone how you feel about the Anthropology podcast and some of the cool stuff that we're putting out into the world. Sue, thank you again for being here.
Thank you so much, Megan. And I should just mention, I also have a YouTube channel where there's whole tons of free videos on there. So you can go and experience Qigong with me on YouTube. So that's just search for Sue Kreitz and it'll come up.
Brilliant. Again, in the show notes, we will hook everyone up. Thank you. Such a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much, Megan. It was a pleasure for me as well.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.